Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Welcome to Financial Survival, folks. Nope, this is not Al or Melody. This is Francis Steffen, and I'm sitting in for Al and Melody this Friday. It's the 28th of November, 2014. So, yesterday was Thanksgiving, and we're here today. I figure, hey, you know, live is better than Memorex, even if it is just me. Because there's financial stuff going on, folks, and it's pretty interesting stuff, and we'll get to it, but first let me go through and tell you what's going on with the markets. Let's see here. The Dow is up. Looks like 0.5% almost. It's at 17,824, 828. The NASDAQ's up 4.31. Woohoo! And the S&P is down 5.27. That's where that is, and let's see here. Get over to the, if my computer would cooperate and get me to where I want to go here. It's funny because I'm looking at another, you know, I don't know what the deal is. I'm looking at another website here that says the Dow and the NASDAQ remain basically unchanged, but, you know, well, the NASDAQ's up 5, but Dow is unchanged, according to them. The S&P is down 5. Global Dow is down 6. Gold is down 32. Oil is down $7.70. That's kind of the big news today, is oil. All right? Oil, a barrel of oil, is at $66.03. Okay? Whoa! You know, that's pretty low, considering that oil was, you know, at its high, 140. That's less than half. But the question to ask yourself, folks, are you paying half at the gas pump? Because you were paying about $4 a gallon when it was 140. Actually, less than four. About $3.80 was the average at $140 a barrel. $3.80. Are you paying, what would that be? That would be a dollar, what, $1.90? $1.80, $1.90, something like that. Is that what you're paying? Really, you should be paying $1.80 a gallon for gasoline given the price of oil today. But you're not. You're paying about $3 a gallon now. A little under that, but about $3 a gallon. Why is that? Now, all we ever hear about these days is the fact that, oh, the dollar's getting stronger, the dollar's getting stronger. Uh-huh. Really? Well, if that's true, then why am I paying $3 a gallon for gasoline? There's two possibilities. Either the oil companies are gouging us, okay, or the value of the dollar ain't what it used to be when oil was $140 a gallon. You know, follow along with that, because the thing is, if it's $140 a barrel and it's $4 a gallon of gasoline, if it goes down to $70 a barrel, you should be paying $2 a gallon in gasoline. But you're not. Okay? So either they're gouging us, or the dollar isn't worth as much, so therefore it takes more of them to equalize. You know, these companies are going to keep making the profits that they've been making. If the dollar loses value through inflation, you know, they're not going to do the half-half thing. Because a barrel of oil is a barrel of oil, and a gallon of gas is a gallon of gas. It doesn't change. It is what it is. But if the value of the currency changes, then it's going to take more of it to get that gallon of whatever or barrel of whatever if it goes down. But we've been told, no, the dollar's getting stronger. Well, really? And we're also told there's no inflation, basically, or very low inflation. And how is that, honestly? Because, I don't know, when I go to the grocery store, I see inflation. And you may not see it in every price that you see. But if you used to pay a dollar for 32 ounces of something, and now you're paying a dollar, but now you're only getting 28 ounces, the price just went up, folks, even if it stayed the same. You get it? And if you'll look at the boxes and bags and bottles and everything at the store, they have all been made smaller. Cereal was a great one at the beginning. You know, they have a box with a bag inside the box with cereal in it, and the weights on the front. Well, at first, they kept even the box the same size, and they just reduced the amount in the bag inside the box. So it appeared the same. But then they made the bag so much smaller that they had to reduce the size of the box also. Look at a can of coffee. Everything has been reduced in size, yet the prices remain the same. And we go, well, you know, great, prices haven't gone up, but they have. Because you're getting less for the same money. And then, on top of that, they have raised the price. Matter of fact, look at sugar. You know, a bag of sugar used to be, they used to sell them in 5-pound bags and 10-pound bags. And then, of course, you could always buy bigger bags. But, you know, most people either got the 5-pound bag or the 10-pound bag. Well, guess what? They still sell 10-pound bags, but the 5-pound bag is now 4 pounds. Yeah, that's right. You're getting a whole pound less for the same money. Whee! They prices didn't go up. But it did. So, how does the value, how can the value of the dollar be going up if that's happening? Anyway, let's see here. It says, I'm looking at the foreign exchange rates, and it doesn't look like much of a change, but it's a 0.17% decrease between the euro and the dollar, and a 0.69%, like a little over 0.5% drop on the British pound. So you have that, and then it's up against everything else, like the Japanese money and the... Oh, whatever. what is this, the Canadian and the Chinese, and, you know, it's gone up against all those, but it's gone down against the euro and the pound. So there you have that. At least this is what they say, anyway. Did you know that in just 8 weeks, the Treasury has issued $1 trillion in new debt? Yep. And they did that to pay the old debt. Does this sound a lot like robbing Peter to pay Paul? Right? The Daily Treasury statement that was released Wednesday afternoon as Americans were preparing to celebrate Thanksgiving, I'm sure that was just coincidental, revealed that the U.S. Treasury has been forced to issue $1,040,965,000,000 in new debt since fiscal 2015, started just 8 weeks ago. Yeah, you see, the government doesn't even use the real calendar. Everything these people do is a fraud, even what year it is. They're in the fiscal year of 2015 already. I mean, come on. Just go with the calendar. No, we can't do that. They did this in order to raise the money to pay off Treasury securities that were maturing and to cover new deficit spending by the government. During those 8 weeks, Treasury took in just $341,591,000,000 in revenues. That was a record for the period between October 1st and November 25th. But that record, $341,591,000,000 in revenues, was not enough to finance ongoing government spending, let alone pay off debt that matured. Do you see the spiral here, folks? I mean, look, $341 billion, sounds like a lot of money, but that's a little over a third of what they needed. You can't keep running anything like that. Could you run your business like that? I mean, really, could you run your business taking in $341 billion and having to spend a trillion? If you went to the bank and said, well, hey, I'm doing great. I just need a $1 trillion loan. Oh, no, I'm doing fine. I need a $1 trillion loan. I just brought in $341,591,000,000. I'm doing great. So how about that $1 trillion loan again? You can't go on like that, folks. I mean, really, we can sing happy days and blue skies all day long. We can read reports off the internet all day long about things are wonderful. I mean, the CNN poll that I just read on my show, 52% of the people in this country, so CNN says, thinks we're doing good. Really? You're taking in a third of what you need? That's not doing good. That's going bankrupt, and that's not usually considered good. See, it gets shoved under the table. I mean, back in Clinton's presidency and Reagan's presidency, they actually talked about deficit spending and getting the budget under control and getting the deficit under control, and, you know, we got to do something about this. And, you know, it was a political issue. They didn't do anything about it. Bill Clinton actually slowed the debt clock way down. I think it might even stop for a few seconds. That didn't last long, though. But the fact of the matter is, they don't even talk about it now. They don't even worry about it now. They just keep spending. And you've got to wonder, what are they thinking? You don't think they see this? You don't think they understand that you can't run a business taking in a third of what you spend? You don't think they get that? They don't understand that? Of course they must. And if they don't, somebody on their staff probably does. So why are they continuing to do it? And why don't they even talk about it? They don't even act like it's a problem anymore. Just write a check. Don't worry about it. I still got ink in this pen. And if I need more checks, I'll go to the Federal Reserve and have them print me out some more checks. How long is that going to be able to go on, folks? And what do you think the end of this is going to be? Bankruptcy, that's what it is. And what is that going to mean? See, we can say that real quick, and the government's bankrupt already or whatever. Well, they may be technically bankrupt already, but it hasn't hit the wall yet. But what happens when the United States goes bankrupt for real? Well, what happens in bankruptcies? We've already, okay, there are no more reorganization plans. We've already had a bankruptcy plan. The United States' bankruptcy plan has failed. And it's just gotten worse. So what happens when an entity goes bankrupt? They come up with a reorganization plan and they go further bankrupt. Liquidation is what happens after that. Liquidation of assets. Well, now there's the big question, isn't it? What assets does the United States actually have? I mean, honestly, what assets does the United States actually have? Now, they claim to own like 80% of the land in the West. However, there is no constitutional provision for them to own that land. So they are holding it illegally. And if anything, the United States does not own that land to do with what it pleases. And that's a big if, because there is no provision for them just to own land. There's a provision in the Constitution to allow them to have land for specific purposes. And they are very specific purposes. Not just because I want it. Oh, and I was able to steal it from you. No. They've got specific uses. But if there's some way that they could lie their way into justifying having that land or holding that land, it would be in trust for the states of the Union. Oh, you might think the people of the United States. Yes, the people of the United States through their states. Because the federal government doesn't represent you. All right? This was the whole argument against the Bill of Rights by the Federalists. They didn't want a Bill of Rights, not because they didn't want people to have rights. They didn't want a Bill of Rights because they didn't want to give the impression that the United States government had anything to do with the people of the United States of America. You deal directly with your state government, and the state governments deal directly with the federal government. So, in a roundabout representative sort of way, yeah, the United States is there for the benefit of the American people through their states. See, this is something that, I don't think they teach in school anymore, but they did when I was there. In fourth grade or something, we learned about how the government was put together, how this is supposed to work. It's quite an elaborate and really quite an elegant government until they started getting their fingers in there. The 17th Amendment basically destroyed that relationship between the states and the federal government. And they did it unconstitutionally because it never passed legitimately. Because, you see, They went by the amendment rule that says, oh, well, you know, three quarters of this and three quarters of that, and boom, we've got an amendment to the Constitution. Well, that applies to everything except the state's suffrage in the Senate, which had to be unanimous, and it wasn't. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a bit.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
All right, we're back. This is Financial Survival. I'm Francis Steffen. I'm sitting in for Al and Melody today. Thanksgiving holiday. They have the day off, and I figured, hey, something live is better than something recorded, even if it is just me. So let's get back to some stuff. We just got done with the Treasury here, and I'm pointing out by the numbers here that this can't continue on. You cannot bring in a third of what you spend for very long. Okay, that's just not the way you stay in business. And if you go out of business, if you go bankrupt, you get liquidated. Because we've already done reorganization plans. Okay, go look them up. They're on record. The United States has been bankrupted. We are under reorganization plan, whatever. It isn't working when you're taking in a third of what you spend. Eventually, you will be liquidated. That means your assets will be seized. What assets does the United States actually have? They claim quite a few. They claim 80% of the land of the West. Some states over, like Nevada. That's not their land. And they certainly can't put it up for an asset of their bankruptcy. Because their bankruptcy has not benefited the American people. Their actions are not benefiting anyone. They are failing in their fiduciary position. Now, UC Davis economics professor, he's determined that there is no American dream. Well, Gregory Clark is sharing his research as a hard truth with no hope. Whether or not you can get ahead in America is as predictable as any formula. In fact, he says, the formulas for social mobility in the United States shows there's nothing to dream about. America has no higher rate of... Now, listen to this. America has no higher rate of social mobility than medieval England or pre-industrial Sweden, he said. That's the most difficult part of talking about social mobility, is because it is shattering people's dreams. Clark crunched the numbers in the U.S. from the past 100 years. His data shows the so-called American dream, where hard work leads to more opportunities, is an illusion in the United States. Yeah, much like our currency. And that social mobility here is no different than in the rest of the world. The status of your children or your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren will be quite closely related to your average status now. UC Davis students, CBS 13 spoke to dismiss the findings. The parents' wealth has an effect on one's life, but it's not the ultimate deciding factor, Andy Kim said. Clark has heard the naysayers before. You know, these are students, okay? You got to understand, these are students who just got themselves in $50,000 to $100,000 worth of debt to go to a college so they could get a degree, so they could get out and get a good job that better than their parents had, and do better than their parents did, and move up the social scales into the middle, upper middle class, rich folk thing. Well, of course, they're not going to want to hear this, are they now? My students always argue with me, but I think the thing they find very hard to accept is the idea that much of their lives can be predicted from their lineage and their ancestry. Stuck in a social status is no American dream. It's the American reality. The good news is that is coming from an economist, because economists are used to being unpopular. And so where are the right people to bear this message that the world is a limiting place? There's one caveat to the study, and that is for any one of us, there is always an exception to the rule. Yeah, and that's the fact, folks. See, this guy is, he is using the sociology model to economics, okay? He's predicting the herd, not individuals, okay? That's what he's trying to say here is the caveat. Look, there's always exceptions. You or anybody can break out of the mold and become upwardly mobile. And you can break out of the mold and become downwardly mobile, which is a lot less likely, but, you know, you can do that. But as far as the herd goes, that's not happening, okay? when guys like this come up with stuff like this, you have to keep in mind they're looking at the big picture. They're looking at the whole. They're not looking at individuals. Individuals are not limited by these studies. You can do whatever you can do. But as far as the herd goes, if you are born poor, you're going to be poor, your children are going to be poor, and your grandchildren are going to be poor. That's how it goes for the herd. Now, if you're wondering who published this study, you're going to like this. The Council on Foreign Relations. That's who published that study. Oh, man. Who didn't know this, right? I mean, come on. Everybody who is honest with themselves, who look around, realizes that is the way it is in America for the herd. Wherever you were born is where you're going to stay, and it's where your children are going to stay, and it's where your children's children are going to stay. Now, any one of those children could be the exception. Not the rule, though. All right. Let's see. European nations are repatriating gold reserves from the United States vaults. We all heard about Germany, right? About how they got basically turned down. No, you can't have your gold. And then somehow, some way, for some reason, Merkel said, oh, okay, not an issue. We trust you. Really? Well, the Netherlands has already moved 122 tons of gold holdings back home, while Switzerland and France are considering the same move. Germany abandoned the plan to repatriate its gold despite pressure from Euroskeptics. Yeah, they abandoned it because the Fed Reserve said, you ain't getting it. We don't have it. We stole that. Okay? We stole all that gold, and we can't give it to you. And if you keep pushing it, everybody's going to find out, and it's going to bring the whole world economy crashing down. So they dropped it. But apparently, everybody's not dropping it. Let's see, November 28th. Growing concerns, this is out of Moscow, growing concerns over economic stagnation and unprecedented money printing have pushed European nations into repatriating their gold as well as increasing their gold bullion national reserves. Meanwhile, the United States sits here with zero gold in its vaults of its own, folks. Oh, and you know what? You might say, well, you don't know that. You know what I do know? I know Fort Knox has never been audited since, what, 1950? I know the Federal Reserve has never been audited. So you know what? If they won't let us know how much gold they got, then they don't have any gold. Because if they did, they'd let us know. They'd let it be audited. They would be happy to have it be audited. But you see, they block it every time somebody tries to audit the Fed. They block it every time somebody tries to audit Fort Knox, they block it. Why? Because if you found out the truth, it would crash your confidence in the dollar. And they would be exposed as the thieves they are. The 2008 financial crisis and its aftermath have received interest in monetary policy instrument of bygone era. Gold. This trend is especially pronounced in Europe, where central banks face public pressure to buy more gold or bring back home what they hold in vaults overseas. This is out of the Wall Street Journal. According to the media source, the Swiss National Bank, this is another story that we're going to get to here in a second. According to the media source, the Swiss National Bank could be forced to move more than double its gold assets, while selling gold would be restricted. The Save Our Swiss Gold campaign is prepared for a vote November 30th, which could require the SNB to repatriate all its gold reserves from overseas vaults. The Netherlands has already returned 122 tons of its gold holdings from the U.S., with the Dutch Central Bank announcing that the decision to repatriate the gold would obviously have a positive effect on public confidence. Remarkably, in 2012, the Dutch president stated that he didn't consider repatriating gold due to the fact it was absolutely safe in Manhattan. What an idiot. Really? In Manhattan? Folks, is this okay, are you seeing a little problem here? Manhattan? What's in Manhattan? The New York Federal Reserve's in Manhattan. Not the United States Mint, not the United States anything, but the Federal Reserve, which is not federal, folks. It is not a federal agency. It is not a part of the United States government. It may work with the United States government, but it is not a part of the United States government. Fort Knox is a military base. Gee, you'd figure, hey, that's a good place to keep your nation's gold reserves, surrounded by, an armored division. How much gold is in Fort Knox? Well, we don't know because they won't tell us, because they won't audit it. Why would all the gold be held in Manhattan at a private bank rather than the United States government? It's because the United States has no gold. Germany's plan to bring its $635 billion worth of gold reserves back was abandoned by the German authorities. The Americans are taking good care of our gold. We have no reasons to form mistrust. Norbert Barthel, the German Parliament budget spokesman, said, as quoted by Russia Today. However, the decision has met heavy criticism from Eurosceptics, who insist that German overseas holdings should be inspected annually, as the Bundesbank does with its reserves in Frankfurt. Yes, they should be. Why is it that the United States doesn't allow anybody to look at anything? I mean, really, could it be? I mean, really, could it be that it's because there isn't any? They stole it all? It's kind of like, oh, well, let me look into the Social Security account. You know, the account that doesn't exist. Because there is no Social Security account. At one time, the law was every dollar you pay into Social Security goes into a special secured fund and it stays in there. And they invest it in something that, you know, is safe and it grows in value. And that way they'll have the money to pay out. And Social Security was doing very well. And there was big, big money sitting there. Well, Congress couldn't have that. Because they wanted to spend big, big money, but they didn't want to get in debt. Because at the time, people didn't like that idea. Because at the time, people had a little more understanding of how the economy worked. And that, you can't spend more than you make. But now, everybody's gone to college and they've gotten educated to the fact that, well, no, that's how you do it. Deficit spending's how you grow the economy. Yeah, this is what they're being taught, folks. Well, you can't keep going like that. But that's where we're at. So, what they did was, stroke of a pen, decided, we're taking the Social Security fund and we're putting it in the general fund. And, woo, look at all the money we got to spend. And they spent it all. And what did they do with the Social Security account? Well, they put some IOUs in there. Oh, we promise. We promise we'll pay you this. Well, we promise we will. Well, yeah, we do. We really do. We promise. And you know, you can believe a politician when they make promises, because they're always held accountable for their promises. Oh, wait. No, they're not, because the Supreme Court ruled that a campaign promise is not to be believed. Wow, that's too bad for everybody who thinks they're going to get Social Security. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a bit.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We're back. This is Financial Survival. My name is Francis Steffen, and I am sitting in for Alan Melody today. It is the 28th. It's Friday, day after Thanksgiving. So Alan Melody are taking today off, and I figured live is better than a repeat because the world moves on. Anyway, let's... where do we leave off here with gold and... European nations wanting to repatriate some of their gold from U.S. banks. You know, you got to wonder, what a scam, huh? The U.S. Federal Reserve, what a scam. I mean, they told these European countries, well, you know, with the Cold War and all, and Russia right on your doorstep, and hey, we can't stop them. All we'll have to do is nuke them, and that's going to be bad for you. You know, you really ought to protect your gold and bring it on over here to Manhattan, stick it in the Federal Reserve Bank, and we'll keep it safe for you. We promise. And they fell for it, and now they can't get it back. See, Germany says they abandoned the plan. They didn't abandon the plan until the Federal Reserve told them, well, you can have this little bit in maybe 7 years, and, you know, they wouldn't give it to them. They didn't abandon the plan because the Americans are taking such good care of their gold. They abandoned the plan because the Americans fessed up. They don't have their gold. They stole all their gold. And if everybody finds out, it's going to crash the world economy. That's why Germany backed off. Right? Because crashing the world economy won't do Germany any good. So that's why they backed off. Now, I mentioned this, but in Switzerland, a campaign is on to protect the country's wealth by investing in gold, a lot of gold. In a test of their sense of financial security, the Swiss are being asked to vote on a proposal to make the central bank hold one-fifth of its reserves in gold within 5 years. That would mean buying about 1,500 metric tons, more than $60 billion worth. If the initiative wins the backing of a majority of Swiss voters this Sunday, yeah, you see, they vote on Sundays, you know, when everybody's off of work, when they got the day off, when they can actually get to the polls. Gee, what an idea. I wonder why they don't do that in the United States. I wonder why it's on a Tuesday or something always, huh? How come we don't get to vote on the weekends when everybody's got off? Oh, I know why. Because they don't want working people to actually vote. Who they want voting is Ma and Pa Welfare, who's sitting around smoking crack watching the daily soap operas, waiting for their welfare check to show up. Or federal workers, government workers who, oh, they get time off to go vote. Sure, go on ahead and vote. As a matter of fact, we'll bring the voting boxes to you. Anyway, if this happens, okay, because not only are they going to have a fifth of their reserves in gold, the Swiss National Bank would also be prohibited from spending any of the treasure, which would have to be locked away in vaults entirely on Swiss soil. The prospect risks causing a spike in gold prices globally. Oh yeah, I'd say so. Anyway, the Nationalist Swiss Party, People's Party, the largest a party in the country, has brought the Save Our Swiss Gold initiative, arguing it will restore trust in the central bank and its paper money. But guess what? The proposal is opposed by the government and financial leaders. Well, of course not, because financial leaders all deal in paper. You know, look. Do you know why governments, you know why politicians are against making drugs legal? Now, you may have a distorted view that they have some kind of morality about them, that they don't want everybody addicted on drugs. Really? Oh, why don't we go ask Pfizer or Merck about that, huh? Yeah, the FDA is letting them pump out petrochemical crap that's killing numerous people every year without doing proper testing or any long-term testing whatsoever. So I don't think the whole, oh, we don't want people on drugs because it's immoral, I don't think that argument really works when you're talking about politicians or government bureaucrats. But the fact of the matter is, they don't want the drugs that are illegal made legal. Guess why? Because they make a lot of unaccountable money off of illegal drugs. Okay? Do you know one of the biggest contributors to political campaigns that were against drugs came from the drug cartels? That's right. And you know what? These money people, these financial leaders, are the same as drug dealers, folks. They don't want gold. They don't want gold because gold is real money. Gold is stable, and they're running an unstable criminal operation, and they don't want any interference from gold. Because paper fiat currency is the drug. Anyway, these guys, they lie. They'll say anything. They'll say, oh, well, gold is not a good, reserve. It's not a good reserve. That's not a good reserve. Oh, really? But nothing is much better. Yes, let's print out a pile of paper and say that's our reserve. But we'll see on Sunday how the Swiss vote. So there's a couple of things going on that could, you know, that are indicating that, you know, if these things happen, gold is going up. Gold is going up regardless, folks, because you see, there's still the issue of the United States government is bringing in one-third of what it's spending. It's getting further and further in debt faster and faster. And you cannot stay in business doing that. And they are in business. And they are already under reorganization plans. They have already gone bankrupt. You only get so many chances to reorganize before the bank decides to liquidate you. Now, OPEC policy on crude production. See, this is pretty important. These guys, their policy on this will ensure a crash in the U.S. shale industry, a Russian oil tycoon said. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, kept output targets unchanged at a meeting in Vienna today, even after this year's slump in oil price caused by surging supply from U.S. shale fields. See, OPEC has decided to go to the wall with this. Because you know why? OPEC knows it can produce oil cheaper than the shale fields. You know? Because it's estimated, and I don't know, you know, I've done the best I can to find out what it costs, but, you know, who knows? But everything that I've been able to find, it costs the Saudis about $4 a barrel to get it out of the ground and put it in a barrel. $4. So they got a long way to go before they're not profitable. Now, I bet, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would bet you money that it costs a lot more than $4 a barrel in the shale fields. American producers risk becoming victims of their own success at today's prices of just over $70 a barrel, which it's not over $70 a barrel anymore. It's down to $66 a barrel. Drilling is close to becoming unprofitable for some explorers. In 2016, when OPEC completes this objective of cleaning up the American marginal market, the oil price will start growing back again, said Fudin, who's made a fortune of more than $4 billion in the oil business, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. The shale boom is on a par with the dot-com boom. The strong players will remain, the weak ones will vanish. Yeah, man. At the moment, some U.S. producers are surviving because they managed to hedge the prices they get for their oil at about $90 a barrel. When those arrangements expire, life would become much more difficult. While some OPEC countries, including Venezuela, pushed for a reduction in output quotas, you know, because they're a commie country that wants more money, that's all. At today's meeting, Saudi Arabia, the group's dominant member, argued for the status quo. In Russia, where Lukoil is the second largest producer behind state-run OAO, the industry is much less exposed to an oil slump. Companies are protected by lower costs and the slide in the ruble that lessens the impact of falling prices in local currency terms, he said. Even so, output in Russia, the biggest producer after Saudi Arabia in 2013, is likely to fall slightly next year as lower prices force producers to rein in investment. The major strike is against the American market. So, you see, Saudi Arabia is fighting back. And they're in a good position to do so. Because the cost for them to get their oil out of the ground is far, far lower than the American shale fields are. So, you know, it's kind of like American businesses trying to compete with Chinese businesses. Well, gee, you know, if it costs us $10 to make this product, and, you know, let's say we're selling it for $50, everything's good. But the Chinese come in and it costs them $2 to make that product, and they come in and they say, hey, $40. So you lower the 35 and you keep going down, down, down. Well, who's going to win? Well, the Chinese are going to win. And they've shown that. Because they'll drop it down to $9. We'll sell this for $9. Well, it costs America $10 to make. They can no longer compete. And Saudi Arabia is going to do the same thing. You know, and prices of oil are going to come down, and gas and all that, but it's going to go back up once they get what they want, which is to put a bunch of oil producers here in the U.S. out of business. Like he said, the strong will survive. Look, Amazon's still there. Amazon didn't make a profit for how many years? Like a decade? Yeah, did you know that? That Amazon never made a profit for like 10 years. They are now. Because they were big enough to lose money long enough to basically dominate the market where they could actually make money. And the same thing's going to happen. But unless you're big like that, you can do that, and you can afford to lose money for a decade, you can't survive. I suggest you protect what wealth you do have, folks. And for you and me, oh, sure, you know, there's things we can do. We could buy shovels. We could buy, you know, whatever. Anything tangible. Tangible, meaning you got to be able to put your hands on it. If you can't put your hands on it, it isn't tangible. And it's got to be useful. It's got to be something somebody's going to want. All right? Now, hey, maybe people will need shovels. I've heard it suggested that, well, you know, stock up on bullets. You could trade those. I'm not trading away bullets to anybody. Okay, sorry. You know, I mean, okay, yeah, I suppose if I sold you a shovel, you could kill me with it. But you know what? It's a lot less likely than me selling you bullets. But anyway, people say, well, go, you know, what makes you think people are going to want gold and silver? Well, because people have always wanted gold and silver throughout history. So unless, you know, like 6,000 years of history, you know, just swirls down the toilet and everybody changes their mind somewhere along the line, gold will always be something of value that people want to trade. Same with silver. Discount gold and silver, okay? You'll get the best deal. Melody will give you a good deal. She'll, you know, she's one of the most honest people I've ever met or talked to. You'll get a good deal. Good service, and you'll get good money, gold. Now, is it down now? Yeah, it is. It's a great time to buy. Buy low, sell high. It's bound to go up, folks. You know, we get to that production level thing again. Everything I've read says it costs about $1,000 an ounce for producers to get it out of the ground into a coin. Well, obviously it can't go below that or people start shutting down business. And when that happens, things get scarce, the price goes up. Everything points to gold going up at this point. Everything. So, you know, now's the time to get in. And discount gold and silver is the place to get in at. Go to DGScoins.com. DGScoins.com. Give Melody a visit there. All the information's on there. Emails, phone numbers, all that is on DGS.coins. Go there, folks. Protect yourself while you still have the chance. Anyway, been a pleasure. Thanks for listening.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money, money, money.